Well, good morning again. We say good morning and welcome a lot at church, but that's okay. It's good to be welcomed and say good morning and all of that. Once again, let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians. Turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians as I get my notes out and you kind of get your outline out. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7 through 18. One more time, we're going to look at these verses that are before us here this morning. From this section of Scripture, I've entitled its message, Mark of a Faithful Messenger of God, and that's what we've been talking about. Today's our final look, part three. You've heard what the topic's going to be. It's been all through the worship service so far. In this passage, Paul is comparing or contrasting himself. Let me kind of set our heart in what God is doing here and what Paul is doing. He's contrasting or comparing himself with those that came to Corinth and taught falsely. They were prideful, they didn't have humility, and those are the two things we're going to look at today. But they were trying to lead the church astray, and then they did lead the church astray, and then the church repented and has come back to Paul and believe in and trust him in him. But Paul teaches all of this, so we'll have discernment. That's what it's all about. What God says here is we get some discernment, we get some criteria on how to recognize a faithful preacher, teacher of God's word. That's the basic what we're talking about. That's what God's word is wanting us to understand and have. There's a lot of things that's not in this, but here is a good foundational thing for in our hearts, for us to know, for us to understand, so we would recognize, have discernment and understanding what a faithful preacher, teacher of God's truth is. It's important for us in the day and times that we live, in all of the media outlets, with all of the information that's out there. We've talked about that many times. Paul's desire here is that the church not be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That's God's desire here. That's your desire, right? That's my desire. That's our desire, that there wouldn't be things in the world that would lead us astray from what it looks like to be devoted to Christ. We would recognize, right? There's things out there, right? My own flesh. Okay, that's true, right? My own flesh wants to lead me away. That's what it is. It's in a battle with the Spirit. My flesh, you know, yours too, that kind of thing. Then there's things in the world that are presented that are deceptions, not truths, and all those kind of things that are trying to lead us away from being devoted to Christ, the simple thing, what the church is to be. So Paul wants us to understand, as a parent, what is to children. This is a very loving, parental thing that he's doing here. He's wanting to teach the church how not to be led astray, how to have discernment, some criteria to see, like me and you would with each other, like you would with your children. It's that kind of attitude, that kind of presentation that God is doing it through his word here. Is Paul's desire here is for them not to be led astray. We've covered a lot so far, verses 7 through 11. And where we saw a faithful messenger of God is marked by his teaching the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about all of that. He's marked by, he teaches the truth of Christ, the work of Christ, and what salvation brings about through faith in the truth of all that God brings in salvation. He teaches all the truth, the work, the life, the transformation, the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. It defines the foundation of all he teaches. We went through all of that. It's the foundation to what all that they're going to teach. Anybody that's teaching and preaching the word of God, the foundation to it all is the absolute truth of Christ, the reality of Christ, and the reality of even the songs we sang, because of Christ, because of what he did, he paid our debt. I can't pay my debt. I'd never be able to pay my debt. I can't live good enough. You can't live good enough. It's all a grace, a mercy, all the things that would be foundational to the truth of Christ. And when God saved you, he reconciled you. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're in relationship with God. You're forgiven. All the things in all of that, they're all foundational to it. And we looked at that, and the faithful messenger of God is marked by an ongoing, vibrant, visible, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is guiding his life. There's adjustments being made. We talked about all of that. We looked at all of that. Next, the messenger of God is marked by his building up the church, by his care to mature and grow the church relationally with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his care. His care is to equip the church to participate in the salvation of others and the maturing of the church. That's what you build the church up upon, about our people getting saved, coming to faith in Christ, us living that testimony, us sharing that the truth of Christ with others, and then us being sanctified, God at work in our life along the way, making the adjustments, seeing our own sin, whatever that is. That's what you build the church upon. A faithful messenger of God is going to build the church God's way, through God's word and his truth, as he matures and grows the saints, and God uses us to win the lost. Also, we looked at the mark of compassion. A faithful messenger of God doesn't build himself up on people. He doesn't step on people. He doesn't abuse people. He doesn't use people. He's not manipulating people. People aren't a way to get up higher. People aren't a way to do anything of that. We talked all about that. A faithful teacher, pastor, carries a heart of love and a tenderness toward people, even lost people. It's a visible mark in their life. People aren't stepping stones. People are human beings that God is using and that God is ministering to through and in our lives. And we looked at all of that. It's a heart of compassion. And we looked at a faithful messenger of God is marked by his disregard for worldly methods. That would be to grow the church or build the church. A disregard for human wisdom or programs or pervasiveness or charm or charisma or personality or oratory skills. We looked at all those. None of those are wrong. It's nice to have a good personality. It's nice to be able to talk well. It's nice to have some charm. You guys should pray that pastor would have some charm, that he's not so abrasive. All of that kind of stuff, but that's not what you build a church upon. You just reject all of that. A faithful teacher of God's word is not going to, he's going to reject that you build a church on any of those kind of things. He has a disregard for that. You build the church on the word of God, his truth, and us loving and having compassionate, Christ-like lives that God is working out in our life. So you reject the fleshly methods. And then last we looked at the integrity. A faithful preacher, teacher of God's word, is marked by integrity. He's not two people. He's not one person here in front of the pulpit or one person at the potluck and then somebody else at another place. What he is in the pulpit, he's in life. That's an important aspect of it. He seeks to live consistently with what he preaches. Now that brings up to our final mark. And I set this mark out when I was preparing this, that we'd have the whole Sunday to look at the mark of humility. That's what we're going to look at. Now, let me tell you what a rough week it has been for me, because I looked at humility all week and asked the Lord, what is humble? Studying humility. Okay, I see in the text, I can look in the text and see the characteristics of it and all of that. But each week as we go through this, and really this is our life, isn't it? Whatever you're in the Word of God, whatever you're reading, whatever's in your life, wherever you're at, if you're in a Bible study or you're reading your Bible or you're coming to something, service or whatever that is, or like today, like Pastor Tom prayed about, Lord, give us eyes and to see and ears to hear and to apply this to our life. Whenever that's going on in our life, that we have a personal relationship with God and he's speaking to our lives, whatever subject we're in, that's where God is working out in our life. And so this week's humility, aren't you guys glad that that's where I went this week, right? Everybody cheered, hey, we're talking about humility this week. Man, we're all going to be blessed. We are. We're going to be truly blessed because the outcome of all this in my life as I went through it and the outcome it is as we do is such a gratitude and thankfulness to God and such an overwhelming sense of the grace of God that he has bestowed upon us and the mercy that we have and the privilege that we have, and it seems to give us eyes better in this world when we walk humbly to see what's really true. And if you're like me and you're seeing everything going on in the world, you get a little bit, what's a good word for that? We got a downcast over here. We need to pray for her over here. Disheveled, maybe that would be a good word. Kind of all just, you know, because of everything. And even what Pastor Tom was sharing, you know, and the only hope, the truth of all of that, and I've been thinking about this a lot and working on that. The world needs to see the grace of God through a humble people, doesn't they? Listen, God didn't tell us that we had the answer. God told us he's the answer. Will you tell them about me? And so much in our world today, everyone has the answer and everybody has all they have to say. But the truth of it is, in our humility, we can hold out the answer. But in pride, it's not received. In pride, it's not really love. And so as we look at humility today, there's no more cherished value or Christian virtue than humility. And it's visible, and it's cherished, but like Pastor Tom said, it's pretty fleeting at times. It's hard to grab a hold of. Humility is the opposite of pride. We would know that. To be humble is to be opposite of being prideful. You can identify pride. You can see it easier in your life. I think you do, and I know I do. Arrogant, self-exalting, self-sufficient, thinking highly about yourself. I'm better than others. It's the opposite of that, humility. But what's humility? Let's just talk about it for a little bit. Let me just give you some things about in God's word and some quotes that I've done this week as I study this. Now, I read all the great books on all this. C.J. Mahaney's book on humility, that's a great one. There's some great books out there, commentaries. And as I evaluated this, I decided I'd write down some quotes. And so I put a bunch down, and then I thought, well, they can't write all these down as I'm sharing them all. So guess what? These are printed and on the back table. So you guys can all take a breath. I don't have to write it down, any of these quotes, because they're all back there. And I made a bunch there if you're wanting them. But let's just talk about humility for a moment. J.I. Packard says this: the battle against pride in the heart is lifelong. The battle against pride in the heart is lifelong. So humility comes to our life as we battle the heart of pride. And that's what we're saying in a sense of just understanding humility. Humility comes as you battle pride. Humility isn't like something that you just grab a hold of and now it's you. It's really much the lifelong battle with the pride in your heart. It brings the humility into your life. And then you battle, you know, and that kind of goes back and forth. And he said this: so humility should become an even more deeply seated attitude of living. Humility is an attitude of living. It becomes more of you and as you deal with your pride. And that's so important. Just think about that for a moment. As you deal with your pride, humility becomes more of you. So if you're becoming prouder, just know that you're not dealing with your pride. When arrogance is roiling up and you have that, and you can see that, and I think we can identify a prideful heart in ourselves a little bit more. But when you see that, God's saying, okay, he wants us to recognize, and I'll give scriptures and all this. He wants us to recognize that then humility's not really apparent in your life. And so that's a good thing to say. And then Spurgeon said this: humility is to make a right estimate of oneself. Well, I find that hard, don't you? Just to me to think of me, the right estimate of me by my own mind, right? But he said some more things about that. But it's to make the right estimate. So God has to help us with the estimate, right? Because I think I'm young and thin and beautiful and all, right? You know, all that kind of stuff, right? So the right estimate, but it makes the right one and it lets God do it. He says this: it's not humility to underrate yourself. Listen to what he said. Humility is to think of yourself as God thinks of you. Okay, there's how I'm going to be humble, because I'm going to have God thinks of me. It is to feel that if we have talents, God has given them to us. You guys got talents? You guys all got gifts from God. You got abilities. You got the wisdom you have, the way you can think. All of the things that you have is to think that God has given them to me. And let it be seen that like a freight, listen to this, like freight in a vessel, you know, like a boat with a lot of freight in it, the more stuff you put in the boat, they tend to sink us low. The more we have, the lower we ought to lie. So that's really a great thing in humility to think about. As God works in our life, it's never to lift us up and make us prideful in anything. It's actually to sink us low and really to understand the humility that God wants us to have. Calvin wrote this. He said, where God's spirit does not reign, there is no humility. And men ever swell with inward pride. So when you recognize the pride, that's not the spirit reigning in your life. And so we can identify this. And this is not to be negative and to put us down and to say, oh, woe is me, man. We're kind of prideful. This is really to help us with discernment that God wants us to have. We're talking about discernment as we look into a messenger of God and see if he's a faithful messenger of God and we can listen to him. But in our lives, part of this message is about to have discernment to recognize where we're at with the Lord and where we're at in our heart and to say, Lord, okay, then help me with this. There's a couple of things that happened this week as I was been going through this, and God would speak directly to me, not audibly, and I didn't hear words from it, but, you know, it would be, hey, Ken, was that humble? And I just automatically learned to say, well, that you're saying anything, it must have not been. But it wasn't condemning, it was helping, it was guiding, it was leading, and that's our God. That's a personal relationship with God, because he's not saying, oh, you can, you're so bad. I know you want to understand how humility comes into your life, because I want to be humble. I really do, don't you? Humility is such a vital Christian virtue that I want to embrace what God wants to be vital in our lives. John MacArthur wrote this. This is pretty profound, but you know, sometimes Jesus says some of the most profound things. He wrote, humility is a true and genuine sense of conviction. Let me read that again. Humility is a true and genuine sense of conviction that one is utterly and completely unworthy of the goodness, mercy, and grace of God. That's emotional for me. That's the songs that we sing today. For me to have a true and genuine sense of conviction, to know in my heart that I am utterly and completely unworthy of the goodness and mercy and the grace of God, and I received it because of the love of God. That's humility. And then he writes this, and incapable of anything of value apart from those divine gifts. Look at your world today. Look at all of the world and look at every place out there. Not much acknowledgement that it's all a gift from God. It's all that God has given us. It's a rejection of the Lord. It's a rejection of God, and thinking that the gifts and the abilities and the things that we're able to do somehow come from man. And the Christian, the believer in Christ, understands and has a conviction, and God brings it to our heart to recognize it's a mercy and the grace of God, out of God's goodness, to bring us to a reconciled relationship with him, and that all that we do that's of value is because of the gifts he's given. Humility. It's tough. Let me tell you, it's tough. I know you know it's tough. So in that handout out there, and I know I'm saying a lot about it, but out on the bottom of that handout is, so what does the Bible teach about humility? I'm going to run through it quickly, and then we'll get into our message today. The Bible teaches about humility, that humility is an attitude that recognizes one's spiritual bankruptcy. Humility is an attitude that thinks lowly and not highly of oneself. Humility is a commitment to fall before the great glory of God in lowliness and submission. Now, this is what the Bible teaches. Humility is the eagerness to give God credit, to give God all credit for everything that is good and profitable in one's life. Humility is the spirit of true worship. That is such a powerful thing to say. Because until I'm in a humble place and come before to worship and give all honor and adoration to God, that I've come to live a life that worships him, I have to humbly understand who God is and who I am and what he did for me on his own. Humility is the attitude that is convinced no task is beneath me. Humility is the recognition that one is far from what he or she should be. Humility is reluctant to boast or brag or promote oneself. Humility is embarrassment when commended. Humility will not conceal any sin or pretend any purity. It knows no hypocrisy. Humility is not concerned with the pride of others, since it sees its own pride as worse. Humility is willingness and eagerness to serve. Humility is content to submit all plans to the will of God. And that's from MacArthur also. So again, I don't want to make it feel heavy. We're all going to run out of here today and say, you know, the Lord really was awesome today. We all learned about humility. But it's good. It's good what God wants to teach us and what we're in the Word today. And how do we recognize a faithful messenger of God? How do we recognize, so we don't get led astray, who we're listening to? Humility is going to be huge. It's important. It's vital. It's a Christian virtue. It needs to be there. And we all know in our own lives and heart how we can be promoted to be prideful. So a faithful messenger of God is marked by humility. He recognized that all of this is God's doing, not his doing, and not built upon a person. That's what Paul is getting to in the text. That's what he's talking about. So what does the mark of humility look like in a pastor? Paul contrasts himself to those that came to the church and taught differently and led them astray. So he gives five characteristics of humility, and it's on the backside of your outline. It's the backside there. Five characteristics of humility. So, you know, as we're learning and growing here and what God is teaching of this, these are the characteristics that God wants to work in our life for us to be humble. But we can identify in those that God has called to lead and teach and proclaim God's word to his church. And so the first one, are you with me there in 2 Corinthians 10, 12 through 18? The first one that he says in here, a humble man of God does not compare himself to others. Look what he says in verse 12. He says this. Now remember, he's contrasting himself. He's kind of arguing with the other guys. And he says this, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. Now you saw what he said there. It's not hard to understand. He said, I don't do that. I don't compare myself with people. I don't compare myself. That's what they did. They came in and said, well, we're, you know, comparing us to Paul, you know, we speak better, we look better, we talk better, we do all of these things. They did that. That's what they did. They don't compare. Paul said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to compare myself with others. I'm not going to do that in my heart and mind. I'm not going to do that before people. I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, listen to me. I'm taller than that guy, or I went to a better school, or that's not what he says. That's not what we do. We don't compare ourselves with each other. And church, we're not supposed to compare ourselves to each other. That's prideful. That has no humility in it at all. That's not good. Look at me. I'm better than him. Look at me, and they're worse than I am. Now, you remember Jesus in Luke 18. Turn your Bibles there to Luke 18 with me. You remember Jesus taught a little bit about this. And so we want to learn, and just in our life, okay, we want to walk in humility, and we want to identify humility in the life of those that are teaching God's word. But to turn to Luke 18, 10 through 14 with me. Here's the words of Christ. In verse 10, he says this, two men went up to pray in the temple. One's a Pharisee, one's a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying to this to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. He says this, I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector standing there some distance away was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, you see, that's comparing people, isn't it? The guy that was humble, the guy who was just beating his breast, was just talking to the Lord. He wasn't saying, oh, you know, in the presence of this guy, I'm not as good as a Pharisee, you know, that kind of thing. He wasn't doing any of that. The Pharisee was doing that. And you know what? Let me tell you, it's prideful either way. It is prideful either way in your life to say, well, you know, I'm not as good as them, or I don't have as much as them, or I'm not as sweet as them, or I'm not as nice as them, or I'm not as skinny as them, or whatever in your heart is doing that. You say, well, I'm not as holy as they are, or I'm not as good as a Christian as they are. That's pride. As much as it is to say, well, I'm better than them. I'm better than them. You know, I do better than them. And you know what? We do this in our life. We do this in the world where we look upon our world today. We look at all of them. We look at all the people that are where they're at. We're thankful that God has brought us into Christianity. But in our own heart, we look at the world and say, we're better than that only because of grace, not because of who you are. And that is so hard to take, isn't it? That is so hard to understand, because when I see the world and all of the hard things going on and see the people, have you seen the people in the last 3 or 4 days? It's nuts, isn't it? Because they don't have the grace. And that is me apart from the grace. Apart from the mercy and the goodness of God, me and you throwing rocks through the window. Humility sees the reality of what God has done. It sees the truth of who we are. And apart from Christ, I can do nothing. And apart from his mercy, I am as wretched man as can be. And there's no other place to come to for humility. And that's what Paul is proclaiming here. We don't compare ourselves to others. Because if you do, well, who do you think you are? And then he says this. What an interesting thing that he says, oh, I got to finish the passage. Let me read the passage. 14 and following. I tell you, this is what Jesus said. This man went to his house justified, the one that was humble rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see the teaching of Christ, a faithful, humble man of God's standard isn't to be better than others in comparison. That's not the standard. Back to our text, back to 2 Corinthians. That's not the standard that we're to uphold. And in our text, Paul says this. And if you just listen, you just kind of go, wow, that's just absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. Isn't that absolutely ridiculous? Hey, again, look at me. Hey, I'm liked, I'm famous, I'm good, I'm wonderful, and I compare myself with me. And I compare myself with the other people that say I'm good, I'm famous, I'm wonderful, I'm liked. I have a following. Isn't that ridiculous? Listen, that's why they have no understanding, because who are they comparing themselves to? Themselves. And when you compare yourself to others, how do you have with understanding? Because you're comparing yourself with others. That's not humble, that's prideful. Listen, their standard is to search out their own glory, then compare it to themselves. How glorious is it? Then they will say and teach to be liked, and measure how well they're liked is how well they're teaching. That's what they do. How well they're liked is how well they're teaching. And God is saying that's not the standard. A humble messenger of God measures or compares himself to Christ. Is the Lord's evaluation that's the measurement, then you're humbled. You're automatically humbled when it's the Lord's. And it's not like he's saying, oh, you're just so bad. You just recognize it's all of him. Because all is by his grace. Any advancement, any growth, any maturity and use is of God and God alone. No man builds a church. You just participate in the things that God is doing. A humble man of God is content with God's allotment. That's what he says next. There's a contentment in humility, or humility comes with contentment. And that's what Paul says. Now remember, he's contrasting it. So first of all, their measure of standard is each other and how well they're liked. Let's just kind of put it like that. And so they do that, and so they're promoting that people like them, and so then they preach so people keep liking them and that kind of thing, and that's not no understanding. The evaluation, the standard is Christ and God and his word. Secondly, a humble man is content with his allotment. Look at verse 13. He just moves right on. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within this measure of the Spirit which God has apportioned to us, as a measure to reach even as far as you. Now look what he said there. We will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the Spirit which God has apportioned to us, as a measure to reach even as far as you. Listen, a humble messenger of God is content with whatever Spirit God has given him, with whatever Spirit God's called him to minister in and any gift that he has. He's not trying to build up a big ministry, a big circle of influence, a big following. He leaves that all to God. Although it happens, I'm not saying anything big, and a lot of people going to church and people that are out there in the world that have a big ministry and are ministering to a lot of people, I'm not saying any of that is wrong, but they haven't focused on building that. They've focused on Christ's assessment of them and whatever God's given them, and they just focus on that, and then the breadth and length and height of it all is up to the Lord. That's what he said in verse 13. And you saw it there. He said it again. But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the Spirit of God is apportioned to us. We don't want to do that. We don't want to boast or brag or get beyond what God has done in our life. That's what he said in Romans 15, 17, and 18, I believe. Let me look at that. That just came to mind right now. Yeah, that's what he said. Therefore, Paul wrote, in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God, for I will not presume to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. That's what it is. You just boast in the Lord and those kind of things, and not beyond what God has allotted to us. The words here in the text, the humble man of God is content with the Spirit. You know, this is a good thing, with the running lane. Do you know God has a running lane for you? Look at me. He has a lane for you to run in. He has a place for you to be in this life, in this world and all that. You have a family, you have kids, you have a church you're part of, you have where you're at work and all those kind of things. God has apportioned each one of us a sphere, a running lane. Apportioned means assigned, allotted. A humble person is content to be where he's at. He's content with any abilities or gifts God has given. It's not more attitude. I need to have more, I need to have more, I need to have that kind of thing. It's not about that. His desire is for the people to come to salvation and mature in the walk of the Lord in the lane that God has assigned. His focus is on the depth of God's word, the depth of the truth of God, the truth lived out in his allotted sphere through the people that God has given him to him. He doesn't focus. He focuses on depth. He focuses on the relational aspect of the church and us growing and ministering to each other and sharing Christ, not how big it may become. It's not what it's about. And that's how you're going to have discernment. That's humility. And let me tell you, 50 of you are enough. In the realm of all of that, who would want more than 50? I mean, in a sense, you know, I remember in seminary, the pastor's talking about that, and a few of them getting up there and, they, you know, talking to the guys about, you know, don't let that be your heart. And you think that whatever it is, there's got to be more. There's got to be this. You know, what do you do to draw more and all that kind of stuff? And he said, you're going to stand in heaven before the Lord and be glad that it was not any more than you had. Because that's really the reality of it. I'm trying to get to the reality of it, and this is the truth in our life. Whatever God has allotted to us, we don't need anymore. We need to just focus on what God has set us out in the lane to run. And contentment is that. Third, a humble messenger of God does not take credit for others' labors. This is so important. Look at verse 14 through 16. Now remember, he's contrasting himself with others. With these others that came in and taught falsely. And I know this is going to minister to us here too. But a humble messenger of God doesn't take credit for others' labors. Look what he said, 14 through 16. He said this, and remember, he's having that conversation, for we are not overextending ourselves. So obviously the other ones were. And if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come, even as far as to you in the gospel of Christ. Hey, Paul was the first one in Corinth. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is, in another man's labors, but with hope that as your faith grows, we will be within our sphere enlarged more by you. Now, you see the connectedness there. That's incredible. Verse 16, so as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. You saw what he said. Now, you heard what he's saying. He's comparing himself to what the prideful false teachers did. We don't take credit for other people's labors. We don't take credit for what other people have accomplished. Let me just give you a little testimony, a little simplicity of that. This church has been here 32 years, something like that. I've been pastoring here about roughly 8.5, 9 years. There's a lot of things that went through before I got here. There's a lot of things that were taught, a lot of things that were set foundational. The foundational, how we understand how our giving is a worship to God, how we understand how serving in the body of Christ is a privilege, how we understand the one another's. You know, Tom, when you taught on that, he did that whole series on that. I was really encouraged by how I saw that was already somewhat established in the body of Christ and how we love each other and that kind of thing. I don't take any credit for that. That's what God has established as I was here. But then as I am preaching and teaching and being encouragement and being, you know, learning how to be a pastor, learning how to all those kind of things and seeing the things going on, you know, listen, I don't take credit for anything going on here. How you minister in a WANA group and how you minister to the kids and all that, I just play my part. I just do my part. I preach and teach. Maybe I equip the saints to do the work of the ministry, but the work of the ministry happening, I don't look at it as that was something I accomplished. That's the labors of those that are working in Awana. Now you take children's education or women's ministry or men's ministry or any of those kind of things, and you start to see and start to recognize that God has just given me a lane to run in and what I'm supposed to do and to encourage and equip and have some wisdom and all the things that leadership would do and all of that. But the work, the labor going on and what God is doing, God is causing the growth. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this will help us understand what Paul is talking about here and what he's wanting us to recognize in the heart of those that teach. And then obviously needs to come forth in the heart of us. It's that a humble messenger of God, we don't take credit for each other's labors. 1 Corinthians 3, listen to what Paul said there, what he was teaching in the first letter. We'll start in verse 4. Paul said this, for when one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm Apollos, are you not just mere men? Listen, they were having a hard time in that church following specific men. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Jesus. They had that in their heart. They were kind of picking out, I'm going to be this guy, I'm follow that guy, that kind of thing. Paul is dealing with all of that. He's addressed that. That's a wrong spirit. That's prideful. That's a lot of different things. But listen to what he says in verse 5 through 9. He says, what then is Apollos? And what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one that waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and you're God's building. Did you hear what he just said? Listen, I'm not anything. Either are you, Tom. Or either is it Scott or Sam or Ken. I'm not picking on anybody, but we're all in this together. Didn't you hear what he said? We all have the lane to run. We all have the things that we're to do. And he said, well, who is it? The one that plants, the one that waters? We're all doing this together, but it's God causing the growth. Any humility in the body of Christ, any humility in the teaching and the ministry that's going on, recognizing that it's God that's doing this and that we're just doing our part, doing what God wants us to do, living the way God wants us to live in humility, not taking credit for what God's doing. Amen? And that's so hard. That's so hard. Because we are human beings, and that's how, you know, what we have to work through. But as you deal with pride in your heart, the attitude of humility becomes in your life. You're absolutely right, J. Hyatt Packard. As we deal with those things in our life. Now, there's nothing wrong with us all commenting each other and saying, man, you did a great job there, man. You really taught God's word there good. Yeah, it's okay to comment, you know, thanks for doing the class this morning. That was wonderful, Tom. But I know God's doing a work in our heart as we listen to his word and his truth. And you're just running in your lane. And the ushers were too when they had the building warm and the people that were here doing what they were doing. And they were all, and we're in this together and we know that we're, that was on, huh? And we're planting and we're watering, but God is causing the growth. That's what Paul wants you to catch, that he wants you to see, that you can visibly see that in somebody holding out God's truth and teaching God's truth to the church, because he's not trying to build up a prideful heart of what you're accomplishing. He's trying to bring us to the humility to know, run, and God will accomplish because of who God is. Well, that's Christianity. That's the truth of what God wants us to understand. That's what this is about. This is absolutely incredible. The humble man of God just runs in his lane using the gifts God has apportioned to equip the church to do the work of the ministry, Ephesians 4:1, and what God accomplishes through you is not to my credit. I'll just, what does it say? He'll just recognize if I ran in my lane at the end of all of this and what my heart attitude was in this. Was it humble? Was my effort honestly before the Lord? But whether it's big or small or whatever it isn't the issue about it. I think of so many of us in our ministries and all of that, that would come on your heart, and that because this church is faithful in ministering to each other and reaching out to each other and serving the body of Christ and doing all of the work of service to for all this to go on, and just recognizing that, you know what, in the grace of God, God is causing growth. He is growing us. He is at work here because we're being faithful to the things that God wants us to be faithful to. And we'll just leave the breadth and length and width of it to him, and we're just going to focus on the depth. How are you doing in your relationship with the Lord, and how can I help you? We're going to focus on the depth. How can I love you? How can we care about you? How can we encourage you? Where is it that we can do to minister and love each other or listen or help you with what's in your heart and mind that's causing you to struggle? Because that's the issue. Now the final two. The final two, and here's what Paul was really headed to. Now back to 2 Corinthians 10. Verses 17 and 18. Here's the final two. A humble messenger of God willingly seeks only the Lord's glory. A humble messenger of God willingly seeks only the Lord's glory. Look at verse 17. He says this, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. But he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. Now, let me encourage you and just share with you the things that I went through as I went through that. Psalm 20, verse 7, David wrote, "Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of our Lord God." He also wrote in Psalm 34, 2, "My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice." Now listen, it's not just words. You know, I've said this before, and it's in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it says, "And whatever we do, whatever we eat or drink, whatever we do to the glory of the Lord." And then people will talk about some things, and they'll share some things, and then they'll just stamp right on the back of it. They'll just say, "And to the glory of the Lord." That's not what he's talking about. That's easy, isn't it? You know, it reminds me when I played baseball in college, and my second year at Fresno State, we went to Hawaii, and I was playing there, and a bunch of guys got hurt, so I played eight positions when we were in Hawaii. The only position that I didn't play was left field. I played all other eight because a bunch of guys got hurt. You only take 22. And then so what the coach stamped right on me, and the other one said it, he just stamped utility player. And I wore it on my back the rest of the time I was there. You know, the coach would see me in that manner. Utility player stamped it right on there. That's not what God's saying when we want to do all things to the glory of God, that we would give glory to God. We'd say, "This to the glory of God, that to the glory of God." Giving the glory of God is to give recognition to the character, the nature, and the attributes of God and to the Lord. And our boast, this is what you talk about, is a life lived from the soul, giving recognition, giving credit to the Lord alone, humility. You know, if you tell me you like the sermon, that's okay. And that's all right. We can say, you know, "I'm thankful for that you did that and this." But in our heart, we want to brag about the Lord, and it's more than words. I don't know how to say it any other way. It's okay to say, "Thank you, Lord." It's okay to say, "Well, you know, isn't God good?" You'll say something to me about that, and I say, "Man, God's word is always amazing. It's always good. I'm just glad I got out of the way one time, and we actually could hear it today." Because it is the Lord that is amazing. Amen? It is the one that we boast about, right? Right? And that's what he's talking about here. It's to see that in the heart and mind, to recognize that, to have discernment. That's what it is. We can say it and make it look like it's boasting in the Lord. But our life reveals what we boast in. That's what I'm trying to get to and what he's talking about here. It's an attitude of the heart, an eagerness to give God all the credit, reluctant to promote yourself. It's a willingness to seek and live and serve that gives all recognition to the Lord. And that's really tremendously hard. A humble messenger of God lives for eternal commendation. Look at the last verse, verse 18. "For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends." Now, you probably thought of a lot of things when you've seen that verse before and taught about it before. A humble preacher or teacher, or a humble man of God, or a humble mom, or a humble dad, or a humble servant of the Lord, or a humble person on their block, or a humble person in the church, let's just bring us all into this and what he's saying, doesn't build himself up. He doesn't trust in his own assessment. He doesn't seek commendation from others. The evaluation that concerns him is the Lord's. That's what he's teaching. And in that, there will always be adjusting, turning, and changing, because we all have to adjust in our relationship with the Lord. And the freight of the Lord's judgment sinks the vessel low into the water to keep us humble, to help us walk in humility. He recognizes that standing before the Lord and giving account for all that he has done is the commendation he seeks. That's what Paul's talking about. That's the commendation that we all seek, isn't it? Humility is a battle against pride in the heart, and it's lifelong. Humility is an attitude of living. It's an overall understanding of the privilege it is to be the Lord's and to serve him in your lane. And any teacher of God's word knows that that only comes to each person's heart through the truth of God's word, through the revelation of God in your relationship with God. It comes no other way. It doesn't come through propping it up. It doesn't come through primping it up. It doesn't come any other way but through the relationship that you have with God and you and your relationship with him through the word of God, through his truth, bringing you to walk with the Lord in that manner and to see that the weight that is in your life, that God has graced you and given you mercy and has given you gifts to minister to the people in this world, giving recognition to God's grace, God's glory, God's love, God's mercy, is freight in our lives and brings us down to the humble place of saying, thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing through our lives. And thank you, Lord, for the grace to see it as such. Is that not true? Isn't that true? You see what Paul was bringing out here? As he was teaching this church to look and have some discernment in life? Not wanting to be led astray, them led astray? None of us want to encourage anybody to move away from the Lord one bit, do we? We don't want to give each other something that draws us away from just a simple, humble, pure worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humility is to be cherished. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the heart of gratitude, knowing, Lord, that your word often confronts us, Lord, in a right way, in a perfect way, in a graceful way, not to bring condemnation, to bring life, to bring true life. First of all, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't have the ability to live this way because they haven't surrendered their life to Christ. These become just words in a message. Just unavailable, unattainable things in life. And so we pray, Lord, for you to bring piercing truth to their heart, that all they have to do is call out to Christ and say, I know you're the Lord, and I believe in you that you're the Lord. And I know that you came to pay the penalty of my sin and to rescue me, to bring me to you, to restore my relationship with God. And I just want to live for that glory, for that God that wants to rescue me. That can happen each and every day. In fact, Lord, it's most of the reason why the church is still here, to present the gospel. And for us, Lord, that know you, thank you, Lord, that your word ministers to us in each and every need that we have today. For whatever you bring up, whatever conviction you bring up into our heart, for whatever truth you put on our mind, for whatever it is the Spirit is speaking to each and every one of us that are yours, and he can say a lot to a heart. He can give hope to those that are in despair. He can give comfort to those that are hurting through any word of God, because the word of God is Christ-centered, and it is Christ who is in it all. It's Christ and him alone. So I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us today to come and gather and to hear your word and to worship you and to pray for each other and to love each other like you've asked us to, Lord. And we know that you are here and that you will minister to each need that seeks after you. We give you praise and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. We are dismissed for today.